compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford here in the luxurious Mike Pettine Coaches Show studios. Coach, how are you?
I'm well.
How did the time off? It was not necessarily the bye week, but you had more time this week. How did that help you, and what were your biggest takeaways from maybe the self-scouting you did of the Browns?
Well, first of all, I think it helped us all get caught up a little bit with our sleep. That's something that we emphasize, we always talk about, and I think we end up saying it and not necessarily doing it. So I encouraged not just the players but the coaches to go ahead and get caught up and get the bodies, get a little bit recharged and refocused, re-energized, whatever word you want to use. So that was part of it. The other part was just, looking back over the games that we've played and understanding the why. And I think that's important to understand that there are some games we let get away. There are some things that were outside of our control. There are some areas where we need to improve. And it was a lot of little things. It was stuff that we addressed first as a staff, and then secondly with the team. And it's it's important to always understand the why, but also maintain an even keel and not overreact just purely based on results. That nobody was going to panic and let's just blow everything up and start fresh and try to do different things. That we know that in a lot of aspects we're close. We need to get some things cleaned up.
Well, the final score wasn't where you wanted against Cincinnati. The fact was, starting the fourth quarter, it was a 17-10 game, a one-possession game. So you were in that game. What are some of the positives you took out of that Bengals game?
Well, I thought that's a high-powered offense. I thought we did a good job through three quarters, holding them down. I think where we fell short is we didn't play very good complementary football. That defensively, we ended up having to be out there for too long. Especially in the third quarter, when you don't generate a first down and you have very little offense and the D is right back out there and you're giving that type of team with that firepower that many opportunities, it's going to catch up to you, and it certainly did to us in the fourth quarter. So it's that's one thing we have to have a good understanding of being complementary, that making sure that the offense knows when hey defense is dragging a little bit, that we got to do everything we can to make sure we at least start to move the ball a little bit and eat some time if we're not going to score points.
But Johnny Manziel, obviously you go back, you watch the tape, you saw some of the things you had alluded to at that halftime interview. Missed reads, missed opportunities from the pocket. Now, he still made some plays, but not necessarily on the NFL schedule. If he doesn't start, where he would get live game reps, are there opportunities in practice for him to work on those kind of mistakes and try to correct those things, or is that something that really can only happen in games?
You can get it in practice. I mean, certainly not it would have the effect of being a live game read, but it's still, when you're running plays in practice, you're still going through all those mental and the physical gymnastics of, hey, I got to read the weak safety here, know that I got to put the ball here, and it's got to be on time, and it's going to be on my fifth step. I mean, all those things, those details that get coached hard. And even if it's a scout team rep, that I think our coaches do a good job of equating a scout team play to something that's similar that's in our playbook, so they can go ahead and, even though it's a rep that's for service for the defense, it still is beneficial to the guys on offense running it.
Well, even the most ardent Johnny supporters would say he's still clearly a work in progress. Comparing his tape against Cincinnati this year to last year, was it a clear sign of progress in your opinion?
Especially in the first half. I don't think we played well enough around him the second half or for any quarterback to have looked good. I mean, we didn't... We didn't run the ball well. We didn't, couldn't generate a first down. Dropped some balls, which I think has been very uncharacteristic of our receiving corps this year. That our drop rate had been very low up until this game. So, that's a frustrating part that it's hard to evaluate the quarterback when as I've said all along, you got to play well around them.
Let's turn our attention to the Steelers. They have a little bit of a quarterback issue as well. It looks like Landry Jones, but they left the door ajar for Ben Roethlisberger. How does that impact your preparation during the week?
It doesn't, because I don't know how significantly different the offense would be. I think they'll do a lot of the same things. It's just dealing with Ben is future, more than likely a future Hall of Famer, dealing with that type of extend the playability, get out of the pocket some that he's been known for over the years. But Landry Jones is an NFL quarterback that if the pocket's clean for him, he's got a slew of playmakers he can get the ball to. So we have to do a good job of making sure we affect him and more than likely try to get the game in his hands than let it be decided by a D'Angelo Williams or an Antonio Brown.
You talk about D'Angelo Williams, ran for 170 yards last week. The last guy to do that at his age was Walter Payton. He's been very effective with Le'Veon Bell out. Is that something going to be a huge emphasis in this game?
It is, and anytime you're going into Pittsburgh week, that's got to be a priority that we need to force them to be one-dimensional. Like I said, if we can get the ball where we force it to, for the quarterback to have to win it, then we feel like we have a chance. But if we're losing on early downs and the third downs aren't that long and it's going to make it very difficult to get off the field.
How much more difficult is it to focus so much attention on Antonio Brown? We know he had a historic game last week with Martavis Bryant. When you coached against him last year, he hadn't really been incorporated into that offense yet. So how much does that change things?
No, I think this receiving group is as deep a group as we've gone against, and I think that's one of the things that allows Antonio Brown to, coaches are smart enough to realize that, okay, listen, we can't just focus on him, but they do a good job. They move him around and they get the ball to him in a variety of ways, sometimes down the field, at all levels of the defense, whether it's deep down the field, intermediate, short, behind the line of scrimmage. That it's very, very smart from a schematic standpoint, that it's a simple, hey, you got a guy that can make plays, get him the ball.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. We'll come back with you when we return. We'll also have the PNC Bank Film Breakdown with Johnny Manziel and, of course, hashtag AskPet. And the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, returns on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Elk.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. It's time now for the PNC Bank Film Breakdown. I caught up with Johnny Manziel to talk about his touchdown at the end of the first half against Cincinnati that capped off a 92-yard drive when he got out of the pocket and found Duke Johnson. Here's what Johnny had to say about that play. Here with Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. And before we get into kind of a wider discussion, let's go through the touchdown play to Duke Johnson that culminated that 92-yard drive in the first half against the Bengals. Let's start pre-snap. What was going on?
Yeah, pre-snap, I think we got a good play dialed up. Looking back at it, Duke just doing a good job getting out of the backfield and really coming all the way across the field to keep working, to keep fighting on that play and getting the end zone, which is to cap off that drive before the half was something we really needed.
So when you go through that pre-snap, you said ultimately it was Gary won, but as you watched the play, you looked right initially. So is that something that you saw, that's where you thought you had a best chance to win?
Yeah, when I saw Gary off the line get a little bit jammed for a minute, kind of got off it and then worked the other side. Couldn't really get a good vantage point to throw it down there in the red zone. Got to make sure we're not turning the ball over down there. Okay. And then Duke made a heck of a play.
What do you think when you get out of the pocket? What's going through your mind? You saw the pressure come from the right side. You got around it. And then what's going through your mind? Just look down the field and see who comes open?
Yeah, on that one, just tried to get out of the pocket. I actually think there's a time where I kind of looked back to make sure we didn't have a flag or there wasn't anything, any problems. But, it definitely slowed down a little bit. I saw Duke flying through there. I mean, the guy can absolutely roll as we've seen all year. But broke the pocket, was able to escape. Dunlap and Michael Johnson, those guys who are on the edge are pretty lanky, pretty wide, so to be able to get out was a good little angle right there.
All right, so that was a great drive for you, and it was going against Cincinnati team. We know that was your first start last year. Didn't go as you would have wanted it to. So what changed from year one to year two, at least how you feel like you experienced the game?
Yeah, it's just the process of everything slowing down from, like I think Coach Pettine said it sometime last week, it looked like there was 13 guys on the field at times last year. This year I was able to really try and get Alex and all those guys in sync up front, them help me help them. Making sure we're okay with all of our receivers, making sure we're all on the same page. It's just the whole familiarity with playing at this speed, with this level, with what they kind of do as a scheme. So you go back and you get a chance to look at how they played me last year, played us a little different this year, but still to learn from each and every start. I continue to think every second that I'm on the field, I feel like I'm getting better.
Do you feel like, we've heard so many people say it's night and day for John. Do you feel like it's night and day for you?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Good. And what's the thing that you are kind of the most proud of in terms of your progress?
Yeah, just all the protections that we're doing, picking up, like just learning more and more about the defenses. It's different than college. We're getting the ball out on the perimeter, trying to outrun people. In this league, you can't do it. So, that's the biggest thing, is really trying to learn what these defenses are going to try and do. When one person does here, what it means. And, it's a tough game. It's one of the hardest positions to play in all the country. So, learning every week is huge for me.
All right, Johnny, thanks so much and best of luck to you.
Appreciate it.
All right, man.
You got it.
Coach saw Johnny there, and he acknowledged probably should have gone to Gary Barnage early in that play, but still was able to make the play. And so my question is, what's the most important thing that this offense must do on Sunday?
we have to be efficient, especially on early downs, that it's our age-old, our formula for being successful. Got to win on first down, get yourself, if you are going to get to third down, then those have to be manageable. And I think you got to mix it. You got to hit some chunk plays in this league. I think it's very difficult to just methodically drive and kind of nickel and dime teams and all the way down the field. So, we think we have some good chunk plays schemed up, and we'll see if we can execute them.
All right, time now for hashtag Ask Pet, the phenomenon sweeping the Northeast Ohio region. And we'll start off with this. Cam Irving's been working a lot at right guard. He's got some work at center. We've seen him some at tackle, but not really at left guard because that's been Joel Bitonio's domain. Mm-hmm. That's where he will start on Sunday. How different is that in terms of what he has to do at left guard from right guard?
There are some subtle differences, but Cam's strength really has been his versatility. He's played a decent amount on the left side, especially the days where Joe Thomas has been given the day off in practice. So he's logged a good number of reps on the left side. So he has a good understanding of that world over there. And when he did get reps at right guard, he was solid. So we're looking forward to it. He's getting all the reps this week in practice, and it's good to see this because he's really earned it. He's put in a lot of good time, whether it was in the weight room, in the meeting room, on the practice field. And as we know, that lineup's been tough to crack, and it's unfortunate that Joel got hurt, but it does open a window of opportunity for Cam.
All right, best rivalry in your opinion in college sports? Maybe a softball, we'll see.
No, and whether I was here in Ohio or not, I think this one is a slam dunk. It's the Buckeyes versus the school up north.
Just
being around. Football growing up and being just a huge fan of those rivalries of Woody Hayes and the mentality and just loving those games. The rivalry with Bo Schembechler, I mean, those games were always great to watch. Always threw the records out and that was one that was always, fun to, we only had 10 channels back in the day to put find the one that had the game and off you go.
And our final hashtag aspect question. You're wearing the shirt, Salute to Service Month, but it was Veterans Day yesterday. Did you guys do anything special for the veterans in this community?
We did. It's Veterans Day is very important to this organization, and whether it's thanking, honoring, saluting the people who have served in the armed forces, it's a big deal for us. So we hosted, I think, it was over 90 servicemen and servicewomen from all five branches. It was great to see him come out and watch practice and just how much it meant to them and then to be able to look them in the eye and shake their hand and thank them and sign for them afterwards. It's a special deal. I know it means a lot to some of the guys on our team that have direct connections. And I know we're in the planning stages of a Cleveland Browns trip, USO trip over probably somewhere in the Middle East in the spring. So I'd love to be a part of that and looking to see if we can get that scheduled.
Very cool, Coach. Thanks so much. Good luck against the Steelers. And when we come back, I'll be joined by Pro Bowl safety Tashawn Gibson on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for our player interview, and happy to be joined by Pro Bowl free safety Tashawn Gibson. Gip, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Good. Good to have you back. How are you feeling now, a couple weeks back into the flow?
Oh, I'm definitely feeling good, back to myself. Just had to get those couple games under my belt pretty much. After coming from an ankle injury, a lot of people say ankle injuries are a lot more tedious than knee injuries or hamstring injuries. So, just the first couple games, get my feet wet, but, man, I feel good. I'm back to 100% health, and I feel great.
Let's start with last week's game against Cincinnati. A lot of moving parts in that secondary for you guys, given the injuries. Your impressions of playing alongside Ibrahim Campbell in that game?
I think that he's a young guy. Studious guy. He understands the game. He's a smart guy, man. He went to Northwestern. So, the mental aspect, he would get. And, for him to bring that physical presence in, which he did, made a couple of good tackles. And, he definitely stepped in Dante's role. And, he had big shoes to fill, but I think that he played well.
What do you see as the key for this defense going forward over the final seven games to get where you guys want to be?
I think that we just got to play together. we got to believe. I think that everybody got to believe in that defensive room. You know, it can't matter what's happening on offense, who's that quarterback, none of the chatter outside of what's going on. Every guy got to own up and do their job, and I think that that's what we're getting away from. You know, the linebackers are worried about the D linemen. The safeties are worried about the linebackers. The cornerbacks is worried about – it's just a lot of moving parts that you got to say, hey, man, you can't worry about the guy next to you. You got to trust that he's going to do his job, and you got to go out there and do your job. I don't think that nobody played a mistake-free game yet in this defense, and when you look at that, you can't win games when each and every guy's on that defense is making mistakes, and sometimes bigger mistakes that's costing big time plays. You know, in this league, especially in this division, going against you know, some of the best teams in the National Football League, you can't make mistakes like that. And I think that we've been shooting ourselves in the foot most of the time. So I think that we just got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, man, we definitely have to do better.
And this is a team that's going to test any defense given the weapons they have with Absolutely. Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant.
For sure.
How do you prepare for this game knowing that it looks like Landry Jones, but they left the door ajar, to quote Mike Tomlin, for Ben Roethlisberger? Do you guys have to kind of prepare for both?
Anytime, given Big Ben history, you know, he's a competitor. He's, you know, a knee injury that was supposed to take 6 weeks. I think he only missed 3 games. So, you know, he's a guy that want to be out there. I seen the footage. To say that he'll be playing this week, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but it looked bad.
Yeah.
It'll say it's a long stretch. But, you know, I think that moving forward, the quarterback situation, I guess, is up in the air according to them. So you can't pretty much try to game plan on who's the quarterback. You got to pretty much game plan for the scheme and the players that you know are going to play. You know Antonio Brown is going to play. You know what he brings. You know D'Angelo Williams, who stepped in for Le'Veon Bell. You know what he's going to bring. So we got to go and game plan for the guys that we know are going to be out there in the scheme that they're going to play, because no matter who the quarterback is, they got certain plays and certain schemes that they just won't get away from.
What's your goal for this defense over the final 7 games of the year?
I think that to surpass what we did last year. I think that in every aspect, to truly surpass what we did last year, I think that at a point last year, we had a dominant defense, you know, and I think that we had high hopes of being one of the best defenses in the National Football League, if not the best. And I think that we've truly slid away from that and got away from that. And I feel like if we can get on track like we were last year, and I don't like to compare, you know, teams from the past, you know, different guys, different players. But, you know, I feel like if we could just right that ship, you know, play fundamentally sound defense, and I think that's what we're getting away from. The run defense, you know, as everybody know and can attest to, has been a problem. But it's not even just the run defense. We're giving up big plays on the back end, and we have too good of skilled players on the back end as well as in the front seven for this defense to be in shambles like that. So I think everybody needs to hit that pause and reset button. In these last 7 games, that's a lot of football to be played.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't understand how many games and what can go on in 7 games. So I think that the guys in that defense understand what's at stake there. You know, looking at 2-7, that's not ideal, but I've seen crazier things happen in the National Football League. So I think that if we hit the pause and reset button and we go back to playing fundamentally sound football that we know we can play, I think that we have a fighting chance. You know, until the fat lady sings, as they says, we're going to hold on to all of our hope, and we're going to continue to go out there and play good football. And why not get the ball rolling, get a W in Heinz Field, man, and get the ball rolling.
Everybody certainly would like to see that. Gip, thank you so much for your time. Good luck on Sunday against Pittsburgh.
I appreciate your time.
You got it. And we'll be back for my final thoughts as the Browns get ready to take on the Steelers when the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, returns.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show. This Sunday, the Browns are back in action, and we've got you covered first at 11 a.m. when we go inside the Cleveland Browns with Dustin Fox and Sarah Carnes. Then at 11:30, it's Browns Countdown with me, Andy Baskin, Dave Zasadil, and Mike Cairns. We've got you covered with everything you need to know leading up to kickoff against the Steelers. And as always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns on air and online with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, the Cleveland Browns, United Healthcare, and University Hospitals are working together to improve the health and safety of young athletes through the Helmets program. Nominate your favorite Northeast Ohio high school for a chance to win new helmets. You can enter each week during the Browns season on ClevelandBrowns.com to increase the chances your school will win new helmets for the 2016 season. The Browns get ready to take on the 5-4 Steelers in Pittsburgh. Now, Mike Pettine's history with the Steelers has been good. Lost 30-27 in Pittsburgh in week one a year ago and then beat them 31-10 at home in week five. That was the game, of course, where Alex Mack was injured. We don't know who's going to start at quarterback for either team right now. Could be Johnny Manziel if Josh McCown can't go. And for Pittsburgh, looks like Landry Jones, but they've left the door ajar for Ben Roethlisberger to try and give it a go, and you can never count him out. The Browns need to right the ship defensively. It will be critical, and it will start up front going against D'Angelo Williams, who just rushed for 170 yards and two touchdowns against the Oakland Raiders last week. The other deal is going to be trying to slow down Antonio Brown. He had 284 yards. He's been a Browns killer, over 100 yards receiving in each of the two games a year ago. But don't forget Martavis Bryant. That's the big play threat. And if it is Landry Jones, who's averaging over 9 yards an attempt, look for him to try to find Bryant deep and hit some big plays against this Browns secondary. Offensively, you got to take care of the football, and you've got to find a way to establish the run. That'll do it for today's edition of the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll be back next week, even though the Browns will be on their bye at 7:30 right here on News Channel 5. Have a great night, everybody, and go Browns!
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.